the latest effort to repeal and or replace the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is underway on Capitol Hill, where Vice President Mike Pence is speaking with a number of members of Congress to get their support for dramatic changes. How many people may lose coverage in the event of a repeal? Is any healthcare system set up to have winners and losers? With me to talk about that is Dan Monroe, author of Casino Healthcare, The Health of a Nation, America's Biggest Gamble. He's also a contributor to Forbes. Dan, who were the winners before the Affordable Care Act was passed, and who are the winners now?
The reality is that the system that we have has been optimized for revenue and profits over safety and quality, let alone equality. So we don't have a system that's universal, and that's part of the challenge. And so there are these big constituents in the sense of players in the casino, and they sort of own the house. And those are the insurance companies, those are the hospital systems, some of which are huge, and private practices and clinics that sort of control access to healthcare in ways that are necessary because it's so expensive. We understand the expense when we get into real healthcare. Low acuity healthcare can fit into and often can be crammed into a consumer model. But the challenge is where we get into acute care or chronic conditions, which are very expensive, and the on-road into those is challenging.
If we think about the options that patients have right now, and I'm not even talking about options in terms of can you pick your doctor or can you keep the doctor you want, how are patients supposed to navigate through this thing? And is it getting even more complicated?
It is, and that's part of the challenge, and it was also part of the impetus to writing the book. In fact, you referenced Michael Lewis earlier, and it was a quote that Michael had when he was promoting his book, Flash Boys. And his quote was just pitch perfect for healthcare as well, even though he was referencing Wall Street. And what he said was that if it's so complicated that you can't understand it, then you can't question it. And that's sort of the system that we have today. And so as consumers, as patients, when we interact with this system, we often feel like it's broken. The reality is that it's not broken. It's working exactly as designed. We just need a different design. And I liken it to a car that gets 2 miles to the gallon. When you look at the engine of that car, you don't blame the engine for getting 2 miles to the gallon. You say, in effect, as an engineer, which is my background, we need a new engine.
We often talk about market forces taking hold in all aspects of our economy. And part of that usually comes down to choice. Competition makes better. Is the system you're describing set up now where competition, even if it exists, we're so unaware of it, we're not really sure how to play one against the other to make sure we're getting the best healthcare at the best price?
Yeah. So the idea of market forces driving healthcare is a bit of a red herring, in part because it's so expensive. People don't realize when we get into high cost healthcare, there are literally $1 million prescriptions per year for conditions that are rare but not uncommon. And so we have these very, very expensive treatments. And there's no way around sort of creating competition for those when the systems that deliver those, the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies, have what we call inelastic pricing. They can charge, in effect, what the market will bear.
Is healthcare a right?
I'm of the opinion that it should be, in the sense that we don't have control over our healthcare. It's a misnomer to think that we have complete control over our healthcare. The reality is, for about 90% of the population, prescription drugs only work in about 30 to 50% of those people. There's a lot of variable and a lot of variance in healthcare that's beyond our control and is very much like a casino when we're playing these kinds of odds. We don't have the variable outputs and the variable outcomes are significant. And we don't have control over that.
All right, Dan, let's move to Congress, because we're all watching really closely to see what happens. Is the Affordable Care Act actually going to get overturned by the House? Is the Senate going to follow suit? What looks like it really could change?
I suspect that they'll get there. They'll make sufficient tweaks to get the House votes that they need, and then it'll go on to the Senate, and that's a whole separate debate. But I suspect that at some point they will get passage of the American Health Care Act. The challenge to that is that there is no real, what I call, repeal. There is a replace, but there's no real repeal. In that sense, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, it's not like prohibition. It's not like a single piece of legislation that you can simply turn off or turn on. It's not binary. There's a lot of pieces and parts to it. And in fact, the intent is to keep some of those pieces and parts, which they've already supported. The first of which is keeping kids on parents' plans until the age of 26. And there's other pieces to that. They're still debating pre-existing conditions, and there's other clauses that they're debating. But there is a very strong commitment and a very strong intent to effectively try and claw back the Affordable Care Act in ways that return it to the system as it was before the Affordable Care Act.
Who would benefit from the change, though?
Hospital systems and payers would stand to benefit the most from a return to the way it used to be. And that's a big part of the $3.4 trillion that we spend every year on healthcare.
Dan Monroe is a Valley resident and author of the new book, Casino Healthcare, The Health of a Nation, America's Biggest Gamble. He's also a contributor to Forbes. Dan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.